Well, we're going to be studying this morning, just for a few moments, the Gospel of John chapter 20. And I want to draw your attention to verse 19. And we're just going to be spending our time in about three or four verses here. And this is similar to a section of Scripture that Pastor Greg shared last week, but a little different set of lenses that we're going to look from. So John 20, verse 19, you can look up on the screen, or if you have your Scriptures in front of you, please look at those as well. But John 20, verse 19, we read, "That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting," and I want you to hear this, behind locked doors. They were meeting behind locked doors. Why? Well, because they were afraid. They were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. Why were they afraid? Well, of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly, without warning, just suddenly, Jesus, who last time they saw him was dead upon the cross, why, Jesus was standing there among them. And Jesus said, "Peace. Peace be with you." Now, some might say, and rightly so, what's the big deal? What is so just amazing about that? I mean, that is nothing more than just the customary greeting of the day, which would have been what? Shalom. So Jesus just shows up there in the midst of their fear. They're locked behind these locked doors, and Jesus shows up and says, "Shalom," which means peace. Peace. And that's true. But I think, as I keep reading this text, and as we're going to in just a moment, I think there's a little more going on here than just a customary greeting. So let's take a look at verse 20 and 21. "As Jesus spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side." Why would he do that? Just kind of ask yourself that question. He really wanted them to know, hey, you're not just having like a delusional moment here. This is really me. I'm here. I'm right with you now. So he showed them his wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you." Why on earth would he feel the need to do that? He just said it. Did he think they like were blowing him off the first time? Like, that's not it. So he started over? Or why? Did you ever ask yourself that? Why in this text? Why would Jesus feel the need to say, "Shalom"? In case you didn't hear me the first time, "Shalom." So he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I get the impression from this text that Jesus was extending to them more than just a greeting. It was more than just a greeting to his disciples. I believe, as I look at this, the impression I get is that Jesus was extending himself to them. So not just a greeting, not just a shalom. Jesus wasn't just saying, "Peace be with you." Jesus was saying, "Peace is with you. Peace is with you." I think that's the powerful punch to this. He's just saying, "Peace, brothers and sisters," because it wasn't just the 12 disciples. It was all those who loved Jesus and followed Jesus and had seen what had happened. So this room was full. And Jesus says, "Peace is with you." And isn't it wonderful how Jesus took the initiative? Jesus came to them in the midst of their need. They were probably so caught up in their need, kind of like we get, you know, that they didn't even really call out for Jesus. In fact, they thought, you know what, he's dead. We're stuck. Jesus says, "You know what? I'm going to come to them. I'm going to take the initiative. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to take the initiative. I'm going to come to them. I'm going to pass through these doors where they're staying." But he also moved past some other doors. And those were the doors of their souls, where they were the deepest recesses of their hearts and souls, where they were locked up in fear. Jesus passed through the deepest part of their souls and into the midst of their fear and into the midst of their insecurity, and he said to them, Listen, peace. I'm here. Peace is with you. And that's enough. That's enough. Here's the interesting thing. It didn't change the reality of their external circumstances. Truth is, the Jewish leaders probably were looking for them. They probably didn't have good intentions for the followers of Jesus. So the reality that they were in the midst of didn't really change. What changed was Jesus was there. And Jesus was enough. Jesus said, peace is in the present moment, peace is with you. I wonder, folks, what are the quote-unquote doors? What are the doors that you've cowered behind? Maybe that you're cowering behind today, just like those disciples as you sit here. Those doors that have kept you from experiencing the fullness of Jesus and His peace. I wonder if, like the disciples, it might be fear. Because, you know, we're a lot like the disciples. As they were afraid, maybe we too allow fear just to separate us from that experience of God's abiding peace in Jesus. Maybe it's a fear that when you come in here on a Sunday morning, you got to put on your happy face. Because God forbid somebody really see the real me. What if somebody saw the brokenness? What if somebody saw that I'm not as well put together on the inside as I like to appear on the outside? Some of us really feel afraid of that. We get very nervous. Because if they really know me, they might reject me. They might think poorly of me. They might not accept me. And a lot of us really understand that kind of fear. How about, I don't know, maybe a fear of death? Any of us here afraid of death? Yeah. How about of what's uncertain? That you don't really know what next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on past that are going to really bring to your life. It's uncertain. It's unknown. And some of us can really obsess over that, and it makes us very fearful. How about fear of illness or harm coming to ourselves or to those we love? Talk to many parents, many spouses who say, I am so afraid. Every time my wife or my husband gets in the car, every time they have to fly somewhere, every time I think about my children driving on I-4 or I-95 or on some two-lane back road, I really get afraid. And in that fear, we just struggle to experience God's peace in Jesus. Maybe, you guys, it's not so much fear. Maybe for some of you, it's failure. Maybe that's the door that keeps you from experiencing the fullness of peace in Jesus. Maybe a past failure, maybe a moral failure of some kind, where you feel like you have been permanently disqualified. Maybe a relationship failure, maybe a divorce. Maybe a financial failure, maybe a broken relationship with your child or grandchild or your parents, your grandparents. Maybe it's even a spiritual failure. You just feel like, you know what, I'm going to really try to pray well this week. I'm going to really try to have a steady, dedicated, devotional time this week. I'm going to really try hard to serve. I want to be the best Christian I can possibly be. And we get about a day and a half into it and we blow it. And so we just obsess over that, and we just can't shake that feeling. I'm such a failure, and I just can't find God's peace, and it's just an awful feeling. Maybe that's that door that keeps you from experiencing God's peace. Or maybe yet unforgiveness. That's a big one. Somebody has really hurt you. They have really hurt someone you love and care about. They've offended you, and they meant to. Or maybe they didn't mean to. But you're having a hard time forgiving. And there's like this big boulder in your soul that's taking up so much space in your soul that there's no room for God's peace. And you don't know how to let it go. Maybe unforgiveness. Maybe you can't forgive yourself. For many of us, that's the problem. God's peace is just a foreign concept because, you know what, I just cannot stand to even look at myself when I think about me. If that's you, I got good news for you today. We're going to get to it in just a minute. But you know something else I think is kind of one of those doors for us is a lot of us is regret. A regret that I said something. A regret that I didn't say something. And that regret just continues to haunt and haunt and haunt and haunt us. And it chases away peace. Or maybe shame. Maybe some sexual sin. You know, some people can sin in certain ways and we're like, oh, it's okay. You know, it's all. But a sexual sin? Some moral failure? Oh, I just kiss God's peace goodbye. Maybe, I don't know, some addictive behavior that just has you racked inside and just really knotted up. How about self-pity? Anybody here part of the self-pity crowd? Yeah? Sometimes we exchange our peace for self-pity or for pride or I don't know, a critical complaining spirit. Is any of this kind of touching a nerve? Because all these things kind of touch nerves in me. These are all doors that I have occasionally been locked behind before. And I've not been able to experience God's peace. You know a big one for me, a really big one for me, that I've experienced this week is worry and anxiety. I have a really hard time. I'm kind of like Peter, you know, when Jesus was telling Peter to get out of the boat and walk to him on the water. And Jesus said, Peter, look at me. You can do this. Get out of that boat and walk to me. And so Peter's just walking along, and this is great. And all of a sudden, he looks around at these waves. And he gets afraid? Yeah? He gets afraid? And all of a sudden, he starts to sink. That's like me. I mean, I can start my week. I start Sunday morning. It's good, ready to go. And man, Monday morning, this worry hits me, that anxiety hits me. And I have this tendency to obsess. Anybody else kind of one of those obsessive people? My name's David, and I'm an obsessor. You know, I do. I struggle with it. I'm kind of like a dog that gets wrapped around a tree. I just keep going around and around and around like that. And before I know it, I've taken my eyes off of Jesus and I've sunk beneath all those worries and those anxieties. And I'm looking, I'm groping, scrapping for God's peace somewhere. And sometimes I fall into this trap that, you know what, if only my external circumstances and situations would change, then I could find peace. But that's not compatible with what we see in this scripture, is it? Jesus came to these disciples in the midst of their peace. In the midst of their trials and their hardship and their problems and their fear. And he said, peace is with you. Now I want to ask you a question. Why do you think Jesus made such a deal to stand there in their midst and to say, look, it's me. Look at me. Where they fixed their eyes, where they focused their mind was very important. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says this, God will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on him. God will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on him. Fixing our minds, our eyes on Jesus. Jesus comes to us and says, peace is with you. I am with you. That is enough. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, we read these words, the Lord is spirit. The Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from fear. Freedom from failure. Freedom from unforgiveness, from regret, from shame, from self-pity, from a critical complaining spirit, from pride, from spiritual arrogance. There is freedom from those things where Jesus is. And there is freedom to experience peace. Peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace not as the world gives, but peace that is experienced in our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peace that is not contingent, dear friends, on external situations and circumstances, but peace in Jesus that is abiding, that is constant, and that is present. Present in spite of, in the midst of situations and circumstances. A peace that is available to all that trust in Jesus and keep their hearts and their minds and their eyes fixed on Jesus. That is an unshakable peace available to all, regardless of age, regardless of station in life, regardless of any peace. We are a people who long for peace. We live in a world that is a terrible unrest. We live lives, a lot of times, that are just feeling like they're just tossed here and there. Nothing is ever just perfect. You know, Paul David Tripp, I've shared with you before, I love one of his devotional books. In that devotional book, he writes about having a destination mentality. And he says, sometimes we live this life like this is our destination. And so everything ought to just be hunky-dory. It ought to be just right. And if we go through this, our day and our life, our week, whatever, and we start running into problems, because we have this destination mentality, like everything ought to be just right because this is our final destination, he says we're going to walk around always disappointed, always dismayed and disillusioned until we realize that this is not our destination. But in the midst of all the situations and circumstances that go wonky, we can still be anchored in God's peace if we keep our eyes on Jesus, because Jesus comes to us in the midst of all that craziness and says, just like he did to the disciples, peace is with you. Peace is with you. Because I am with you, he says. You know, in the same way that Jesus took the initiative and came to the disciples, huddled in that upper room, he too takes the initiative, dear friends, with us. And he comes to us and he says, like I've said many times already, peace. Peace is with you. So here's the real question. Will you believe that? Will you believe that about Jesus? And if you believe it, will you receive it? Let's pray together. Father, I pray for grace that you would help us, God, like never before, maybe for the first time ever today, that we can truly believe that what you did among the disciples when they were locked behind, standing behind those locked doors, quaking in their fear, and how you came to them and you said, peace be with you. Peace is with you. That you can do that same thing for us. And you do that same thing for us. So come to us. Move among us. Give us a great understanding, and even more so a greater experience of your peace than perhaps we've ever known. And we'll be grateful, and we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.